you'd have a seat, please. Just have a seat and just bow your heads for a minute. I just want to talk to you just for a minute about the gospel. As we sing about the gospel and we come to this place to think about the gospel, we have a lot of continue to see services that are filling up. First service is packed, second service is filling up, and I don't know sometimes everybody in the church, and I don't know where you're at. But I want you to leave this morning after singing about the gospel and not having the opportunity to respond to the gospel. If you just bow your heads, I just want to walk you through, and maybe you've been here for months and maybe you've never come to that place to make that solid decision that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift is Jesus Christ and gives us eternal life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that it's not of yourselves. There's nothing that you can do. No one's going to boast about it. It's only through God, because he loved you. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody can get away with not sin. Nobody, not one. Only Jesus. You come to the place to know that there's a day that we stand before a holy God. And the only access to that throne rightfully is Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. So when you come to this place, even this morning, singing about the gospel and knowing that Jesus Christ came from heaven, that God loved us, that he sent the sacrifice to die on a cross for us, that's the only way out is Jesus. It's the only way to the throne, man. It's the only way to God. And that Jesus did buried and he did die and he was rose on the third day, truly conquering death, hell, and the grave forever and always, that we never have a fear of death. And it has nothing to do with what you can do about it. And it has everything to do with what Jesus already did about it, because he put himself on a cross for you. And then in this place this morning, man, I don't know where you're at, but if you come to a place to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I mean know, I mean to follow, I mean to understand, man, I am sinful and I am dirty, and standing before a holy God, if I am not covered in the blood of Christ, if I am not understanding what it looks like to be saved, then I have no hope of eternity. And the truth is this, that there is a day that those who will come to know him and embrace him and surrender to him and love him and call on his name for salvation will have access to the throne and to heaven for all eternity. But for those who reject, the opposite is truth, that you will have an eternity in a place that God has created called hell, that is in complete separation from him forever. That's just the simple truth. Not complicated. So I just want to present the gospel to you today, and just to really, in a way that just says, listen, all have sinned, all fall short, but God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And if you come to a place to repent, believers said repent and believe. Jesus said repent and believe. Again, Jesus said repent and believe. You know what you need to do? Repent and believe. Repent means to turn away from sin. Acknowledge sin in my life. Man, I get it. There's sin in my life. And I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm separate from God, and I need to turn to him. Only access to that is through Jesus Christ on a cross, that the blood that he shed cleanses us from all of our sin. It's beautiful, but it's up to you. And then to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life except through Jesus. Man, I don't know where you're at, but Father, we just come to a place to stop and pause in this moment to say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to confess that you are Lord. I want to come into a place to know that I know you and that you know me. Based off of what you have already done for me, I come to a place, here it is, that I would repent from my sin. And I would believe that Jesus Christ, you're the answer. You're it. And in this moment, I confess that you are Lord of my life. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I take a knee to you. And I ask that you would be Lord of my life and that you would forgive me of my sin. And I believe that you are alive. Jesus, you are at the right hand of the Father, that you have been raised from the dead. and I will have life eternal for you because I believe, and I will walk by faith, and I'm amazed by your grace. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Church, that's the gospel. I love singing about the gospel because I can just declare, man, I am saved. Man, I am safe. I will be forever with him and no fear, death, hell, and the grave. And man, what a statement. What a truth. And I love it. Come on, welcome to BC. Pumped, so pumped that you are with us. Hey, if you could turn me a couple places, please. Hebrews 13 and Judges 6. My man JD, Jared Domes, is not here today. He never comes to church. No, I'm saying he's working. I'm kidding. But he said, listen, Sean, you need to announce that I was the Euchre champion of the men's retreat. I'm not playing softball for you on Tuesday night. He's all about the winning, church. I don't know. It's like three-peat. I think he's won three times in a row for the Euchre champion. I refuse to put his name on the plaque. You know, it's just my name's up there, but his doesn't need it. I'm just kidding. His name will go up there. But he made me announce to the church that he's the 2018 summer retreat Euchre champion for the men's. We don't need to clap for that, please. No applause for that. He doesn't need any of that. But we have so much fun. It's. I don't even know if it's right, man. We have so much fun. It's crazy. It's so good, right? It's so good. Come on, I got third. Third doesn't mean anything. You know, I'm always in the top three generally, but it really doesn't mean anything at all because if you're not first, you're nothing, period. We do get a gift certificate for the top four, and I really don't want it. I'll use it because it's a nice gift, but, you know, amen. Come on, turn with me, please, to Hebrews 13. I want us to see this. Because we're starting this kind of mini-series, it might be 3 weeks or so, starting it today in regards to same God, yesterday, today, and forever. What happens if we actually buy into the truth that we really serve the same God, that his spirit actually reigns and dwells within us, and he is the same God of the Old Testament, and his amazing, incredible, all-powerful acts that we see through Old Testament, that it's the same God today that we see Jesus in the New Testament and his amazing acts through the Father and just these amazing. What if we actually buy into the truth that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, the same God of all power and might of the Old Testament, the same God of the New Testament, actually reality reigns and dwells within my heart, within my spirit. He dwells within me. He remains in me. How would that change your confidence? How would, and I'm telling you, man, when I'm praying, I'm just asking God, in the next 3 weeks, whether it starts today or next week or the following week, that what would take place? Always a purpose to the preaching, man. Always a goal to the preaching, knowing that this is alive and powerful, knowing that this is truth. But man, what I want is I want Believers Chapel, who is us right here in this church, anyone online that would watch this, in a way to build up such confidence to know that God is for you. To build up such courage, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going into, no matter what season, whether high, low, or in between, that you would have such a courage about you, such a confidence about you, because you bought into the truth of what the Word says about you and about him. What happens if we actually believe it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever? Same God in the power of the Old Testament. Same God that built confidence in the Old Testament saints to the New Testament saints is the same God today, that can build confidence within me. So, man, when I'm done, I want us to have this sense of courage and this sense of confidence to know that God, he really is for me. Come on, let's look at this, Hebrews 13. Lord, help us in communicating your word. Your word is powerful. God, it is alive. God, we thank you for today. What an amazing day. God, what an amazing day. We thank you for the work that's being done here. Father, we thank you for your word being alive and powerful. And God, let us just build such a confidence to be so courageous in our lives, God. Amen. Father, thank you for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be so confident in winning the Super Bowl this year. Amen. Come on, if you didn't know, if you're new to Believers Chapel, we are all Pittsburgh Steelers fans in this church. Didn't know if you knew that or not. Come on, here we go. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Watch this, man. Come on, check this out. I love this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Here it is. Watch this. For he himself, I love that. Highlight that. Get that in you. For he himself said, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says this. Listen, can you? I want you to get this before we get to this, because if you get this before we get to this, you'll understand something when it goes deep in your spirit, that this is what Jesus says. Listen, do you believe what Jesus said? If the Bible says this is what he said, am I going to buy into the truth of this is what he said? And if this is what he said, am I going to buy into the truth of that's what he meant? I'd love it if we actually read the Bible and just believed what it said and really understood that he said what he meant. Like we don't have to make things up. We don't have to add to it and take away from it. Jesus is extremely clear here, and he meant what he said. This is what Jesus said. Watch this. I love this. Here it is. And Jesus said, he himself, I love how the writer here clarifies, he himself has said, this isn't hearsay, this isn't paraphrased, this is a quote, it's in quotations. This is what he himself has said. Watch this. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Wait a minute. You're telling me that Jesus said, he himself has said, that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Like, what if we just stopped there and said, do you believe that? That Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. The word forsake here, it means abandon you. Your version may say, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. And you have to buy into this truth when we get into the Old Testament, when we get into our own story of life, to really believe, I have never left you and I have never abandoned you and I've never forsaken you. Who said that? Jesus? You think Jesus meant what he said? I mean, do you really buy in when you're struggling? Do you really buy in when you're hurting? Do you really buy in when you're broken? That Jesus really meant what he said? Do you buy in when things aren't going your way? Do you really buy into the truth when Jesus and he himself said, listen, I'm not going to leave you. Sean, I'm not going to abandon you. I am here for you. Sean, buy into that truth. Church, watch the result. I'm making a point here because when you buy into that truth, something takes place in your spirit. I want you to watch something here. There's a turn here. When you honestly come to the place to believe Jesus himself will not leave me, he will not abandon me, he's not going to forsake me, he's with me. Watch this. We're talking about confidence. Watch the turn here. Look at this. I will never leave. I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. Your version may say, I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. Watch. Verse 6. So that we may confidently say. You mean if I actually believe that he is with me always in every struggle of life, if I really believe in my highest point, in my lowest point, and everything in between, if I really, come on, Sean, if I really believe. If I buy into what he said about me, Sean, I'm not going to leave you. Sean, I'm not going to abandon you. Well, there's a confidence that comes with that. You mean there's a faith builder that comes with that? So that we may confidently say, watch this now. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So if I actually believe this is what he said, and I actually believe that this is what he meant when he said it, Sean, I'll never leave you. Sean, I'll never abandon you. And let that be just such a confident boost for me to know this truth. He is my helper. And because he's my helper, I have nothing to fear. For what will man do to me? Church, what happens when you stop putting your trust in man? And you come to a place to buy into the truth that he is never going to leave you. Man will leave you at times. Man's going to disappoint you at times. You can put all your eggs in man's basket, and that's going to be painful. Or you can honestly put all of your eggs in his basket. He says, listen, he is the one that I guarantee that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I can promise that he's never going to leave me. I can't promise that for any human being on the planet. But I can promise you, based off of his promise, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And that should build a confidence within you to say, listen, he is my helper. I am not going to be afraid. What can man do to me? Now watch this. Look what it says. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct imitate their faith. Watch this. Because Jesus Christ, here it is, Jesus Christ, who is God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I read these in Hebrews 13, and I look at this, and I'm going over this thing, and I'm going over it, and I look and say, okay, Jesus Christ, who is God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now you're telling me that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever for all of the thousands and thousands of years that the earth has existed, that we see that God is still the same God. So if he's the same God of those of the Old Testament, then he's the same God of us in the New Testament here, present now. Then my heart goes to one of my favorite characters in scriptures. And if you can turn, please, with me to Judges 6, you're going to see this amazing character, and I often preach on him. His name is Gideon. And when you understand Gideon, Gideon's a nobody who's nobody. His family's nobody, and he's a nobody within his family. That's a bummer. My family's nobody in our town, and I'm the least of my family, so I'm a nobody in my family. And we pick up this Old Testament truth that we find in the New Testament truth that just collide together so you and I can come to a place to believe that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same God. Watch this. He's the same God who says, listen, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. How many have been... No raise of hands, but how many here or even you've known somebody who burned their vows? You got burned by a vow at the altar. Till death do us part. I'm not dead and she's not dead, so I guess that really didn't work. Or how many got a promise from somebody that you loved dearly and it just didn't pan out? Come on, what happens? And I believe this with everything in me, that we have a promise from God. In church, it'll always pan out. It's up to you and me to buy into the truth. When he says, Sean, I am never letting you go. Sean, I will not leave you. Don't count me as a promise of man. Don't look to me as a promise of failed here on the earth. Look to me for who I am. I'm the God of all creation. I'm a God who cannot miss. I'm a God who is not late. I'm a God who knows all things. I'm a God who knows you before you were ever born. I knew you. I'm a God who had your whole life planned out, Sean, before you ever breathed your first. I'm a God that when I said it, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Sean, I'm not going anywhere. You say, I meant that. So we find ourselves in Judges 6. We see Judges 6:1 where it says, this is very important to the story. It says this, then the sons of Israel, these were God's chosen people, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. And here you see where this is the children of God. This is God's handpicked children, where God took them out of Egypt, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Set my people free. Listen, you got to release my people. They're my people. God showed miracle after miracle after miracle. And then all of a sudden, you see these group of people. We can't get in the story of the bunch of complaining and they're crying and they didn't get it. They didn't see God for who he really was. And God as the provider, God as the father, and they did evil in the Lord's sight. God said, listen, do this. And they said, nope, we're going to do this. Help you realize, even as children of God, God's going to only put up with that for so long. So how is it that, Sean, I'm not going anywhere. Sean, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm here. Yeah, but we see that you gave them over. Well, church, there's this idea. Watch this now. That God is going to allow you. He will release you. That leash, so to speak, in a sense where, okay, if you want to go in that direction, you go. Okay, you want to ignore scripture and sin? There's going to be consequences. Always consequences to sin, even for children. But this is what I love about our Father. He'll let you go. But there'll be that moment that He comes. There'll be that moment that Father says, all right, that's enough. Isn't it amazing that He is true when He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You want to go away from me? I'll let you go. But we see this amazing book called the Bible, which is His word, which is God on page. He reveals Himself as one who will come after you again. And He will pursue you again. And He will pursue you again. We see it over and over. Isn't it amazing that we see the very character of our Father? Once they find you want to go away from me, you can go. But just know I didn't go anywhere. Just know my word is true. I'm never going to leave you. And I'm never going to forsake you. You can turn your back on me and go. Not going to go well for you. And there's such grace to know that God continues to pursue us in our stupidity. And we see it here in Gideon, and Gideon gets a serious life lesson where we pick it up in verse 11. It says this, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, and that which belonged to Joash, the Abarzite, there you go, as the son of Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. You see, you got a picture here. These are the chosen children of God who have rejected God and gone their own way after God has shown up. And now they're hiding in caves and they're hiding in cliffs and they're hiding in the rocks because they're in fear of the Midianites. And then an angel shows up who is the angel of the Lord, who most scholars believe that this is actually Jesus. Who shows up to this dude named Gideon in a wine press. And he actually says these words. Mind you, Gideon's hiding in the wine press because he's in fear. And he says this, verse 13, verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Me? Valiant warrior? I'm hiding in a wine press. I'm doing everything I can to keep food together from these guys who will come in and just ravage everything that we have. The Midianites will come in and they'll just take whatever they want because we're their slaves. We belong. Me, valiant warrior. Church, what happens? Watch this. What happens when your opinion of you is different from God's opinion of you? If you buy in to the truth, God, you know my every breath. You knew me before I was ever breathed my very first. And here the angel of the Lord shows up and says, listen, you valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, watch this now. Why then has all this happened to us? Like, if you're really supposed to be with us, if I really buy into the truth that you're never going to leave me nor forsake me, if that's the absolute truth, then why has all this happened to me? Why are we hiding in caves? Remember verse 1. Hey, listen, genius, it was your idea to reject God. It was your idea to do evil in the sight of God. That's not God's idea. That's your idea. And I love this. Watch this. This is what it says. And listen, have you been to that place where you're asking God, where are you in this? What happened to us? Like there was that moment, remember that season? And we were so good for years. We were so good. God, I was in worship of you and I loved you and I gave and I was a part and I was in community and we had something, God. What happened? Watch this. He says this, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? We've heard you're such a great God. We've been told about the plagues. We've been told about that crazy Pharaoh who held us in slavery. That idea that you showed up again. He was held in slavery, right? And then God shows up again, pursues his people, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And then Pharaoh lets him go in the Red Sea. Listen, our fathers told us all about you. But we don't see any of that. Where is all of that? Where is that God? Church, what happens? Watch this, man. What happens if we're so real with ourselves? That you and I can be no different from Gideon. And we have the whole truth. We've got it all written down for us. God, I read these amazing things that you've done in the Old Testament. Jesus, I see you present in the New Testament, working and working and working and changing lives. And there's so many things that are taking place. Where is that God today? And I love the idea here where he says this, but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midians. Wait a minute, I thought that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, I thought that God said, I'm never going to abandon you. Well, which one is it? Is Gideon right in saying, hey, look. Why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that we've been told about? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. Wait a minute. We know that God doesn't leave us nor forsake us. He said that he himself has said. If you go back to verse 1, it has nothing to do with the Lord abandoning them. I can imagine the Lord going, really, Gideon, you think I've abandoned you? Where'd you go? Who abandoned who here? I've been pursuing you, and I've been pursuing you, and I've been pursuing you, and then I had you, and then you did evil in my sight, and you walked away from me, and yet here I am again pursuing you. I can imagine the conversation. Sean, where'd you go? You actually think I left you? You actually think I gave you a promise that I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to abandon you and I'm never going to forsake you? I gave you that promise and you actually think I abandoned you? Sean, where have you been? Where have you been? How can you even ask, where are you, God? God's going, that's funny, Sean. Where have you been? Because his promise is true. Gideon had it wrong. The Lord shows up, and yet again, another pursuit for his children. And we see this. Watch, this is so good. Look at verse 14, and it's amazing. And then the Lord looked at him. Imagine that. We're like, man, we're in such a bad place and things are going so wrong. And we've heard about the God of old and we've heard about what you've done. But where are you? You abandoned us. And then the Lord, could you imagine that? And then the Lord looked at him. Says, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. Have I not sent you? See, Gideon, this is me pursuing you again. You left me, Gideon. Gideon, you abandoned me. I could just leave you out there and you're stupid. I could just leave you out there, have done evil in my sight. I could just leave you out there in the hand of the Midian. I could just leave you stranded, but no. Guinea, it's me coming again to you. You left me, and here I am once again pursuing you, saying, listen, it's time to be free. It's time to be released from these men. Even though look at this. You're in the position of being a slave. It's your own fault, Gideon. You did this to yourself. Can I just say it'd be awful? How bad would it be if we had a father who said, you did this to yourself. Good luck. I'm done with you. Can I ask you how often would that be? If we really had a God who said, I'm done with you. You did this to yourself. But that's not this God. Come on, church, that's not our God. Gideon, you left me. And this is me coming back to you. Because I haven't gone anywhere. Gideon, I've never left the children of Israel. I have not abandoned them. And here I am again pursuing you after. You're stupid. Here I am again. Saying it's time to be free once again from slavery. He says, Gideon, I picked you. Again, what happens when God begins to work in the heart of an Old Testament saint in Gideon? He said, listen, you got to see yourself as a valiant warrior, Gideon. You got to see yourself and know that I didn't go anywhere. I'm here. Watch this. Watch this. It's so good. Watch the change. The Lord looked at him and said, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, he says this. Then he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh. And I'm the youngest in my father's house. Listen, I'm a loser times two. I'm a nobody, nobody. My family's nobody. And then you pick me out of a nobody's family. You pick me, who I'm a nobody in my family. How does this work? I'm a two-time loser, man. How does this work that I'm a two-time nobody? Watch this. But the Lord said to him, here it is, church. Here's the message right here. The Lord says to him, surely, means of course, I will be with you. See, my promise hasn't ever changed. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, Gideon, get it. I know who you are. I put you in that family. I put your family in the position that they're in. I'm in charge, Gideon. I got it. I got this, Gideon. I know who you are. You're saying that you're nobody's nobody, but I am here before you now, right here, looking you face to face. Say, listen. Gideon, I got this. Gideon, of course, I will be with you. Come on, church, what happens if we buy into the absolute truth when he himself has said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Sean, I will be with you. I said that. I meant it when I said that. And I still mean it today because I'm the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I change not. And when I say I am with you, that means I'm not going anywhere. You see this turn in Gideon. And this amazing, listen, this is just a moment, church. What happens if you have a moment with God like this and you come to a place to know, God, are you really for me? Have you really not left me? God, I don't see you. God, I don't see you in this. I don't know where you're at in this. What happens if you buy into the truth when he says, I have not left you. I will not forsake you. Hide all you want, Gideon. But know this. I will be for you. I'm with you in this. happens when there's a confident change. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Gideon goes and he goes and gathers an army of 32,000 men to fight an army of 135,000 men. God says, nah, too much. Breaks it down to 10,000 men. God says, that's too much. Really, God? Oh, this is a test. I know you just, the whole face-to-face thing, and you're with me, and it's just crazy, and it's amazing, and it's wonderful, and I can gather all that, and I know that we're going to defeat the Midians, and I get that, and we come to this place. God, I had 32,000, the odds are terrible, and then we come to this place where 22,000 left, and I'm down to 10,000, and you still say too much. Of course, I will be with you. Gideon, surely I will be with you. You see this confidence dial begin to change to hiding in a wine press to this amazing valiant warrior that God called out as a valiant warrior, and he turns to this amazing individual who's so courageous. And God said, nope, 10,000 is too many. Really, the odds are horrible. 10,000 versus 135,000 men. And we've kind of been hiding in caves for 7 years. Not like we've been training. No, bring it down. He has his army of 300 men. I don't know, man. I just get this picture of things that go through my mind. I can just imagine that Gideon never lost sight of when the Lord looked at him and said, listen, pay attention right here. Right here. Look at me, Gideon. Surely I will be with you. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want you to think that you can do this. I don't want you to think that you had victory. I want you to know that it was me who gave you the victory. I want all the sons of Israel to know you didn't get free on your own will. You didn't get free because you did anything special. It was me, and it's only me. And in that, Gideon, I need you to lead this crew. I need you to be courageous. I need you to be confident, not in what you can do, not in the things that you're capable of, because you are capable of failure. You are capable of missing. You are capable of being wrong. I'm not capable of that. The Lord says, listen, Gideon, know this. I'm going to be with you. This is me fighting on your behalf. You're going to win. You don't have to worry about the enemy. I'm in charge of the enemy. I've got this, Gideon. Listen, all I need from you is for you to be confident. All I need for you is you to be courageous, not in yourself, but in who I am, to know when I look at you eye to eye and we had that moment, I let you know I'm with you, Gideon, and I'm not going anywhere. I got this, Gideon. Church, what happens? Come on, what happens when you really buy into the absolute truth, when he himself has said, I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I'm not going anywhere, Sean. If you turn your back on me being the great father that I am, I'm going to wait. Actually pursue you. I'm going to wait for you to come back to me. But just know, I'm not the one who went anywhere. My promise is true. Of course, I will be with you. Come on, what happens when we buy into the truth of Romans 11? We see in John 14, 15, and 16 where Jesus himself says, listen, I got to go, but it's to your benefit. Come on, man, we have seen you work your miracles. We've seen your compassion. We've seen your love for the unlovely. We've seen you break all the rules. We've seen you come to this place to do things that we've never seen happen before. How, Jesus, can you say it's for my benefit that you go, talking to the disciples? So you see, if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes as your helper. I want you to see this. Put that up for me. We'll close with this. Because when it's a reality of when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Church, it's a reality of this. This is such an amazing truth. What happens when you get this? Hebrews 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, where does the Holy Spirit dwell when you come to a place to get saved? God will send His Holy Spirit to dwell within you. What do you do with that? It's to our benefit that Jesus is gone, so that the helper, and the word helper, your version may say comforter or advocate, which means He comes to your aid. Is that just every now and then? Is that just when the Holy Spirit's not so busy with the rest of the world, He's actually going to come to my aid? Man, we miss this church. And to be honest, Lou, as your pastor, I have a difficult time trying to truly, I'm being honest, man, try to. And I've been saved since I was 11 years old, and I'm 49, and I have difficulty grasping the very truth that He dwells in me. It's the same Spirit with His power, His authority that raised Jesus from the dead. And he remains in me. Sean, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Sean, I'm with you. Matter of fact, I'm so with you. I'm going to put my Spirit to remain in you. I'm honest, man. I have difficulty trying to gather that in my being, and I have a difficulty trying to walk into a place to understand, God, you will never leave me and forsake me because you actually sent your Spirit to dwell in me. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The word dwells, it means to remain, to be set, to take up residence. And then 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He who is in you than He was in the world. Can you just bow your heads, please? We'll close this out. You come to a place this morning just to know your Spirit dwells within me. You never leave me nor forsake me. Surely you will be with me. Maybe you've been looking for God. Maybe God's been looking for you. Come on, honestly. Maybe you've chose a different path from God, and yet you're His child, and you've drifted. Maybe God's looking to you going, hey, where are you going? I'm still right here. Maybe He's calling you today going, hey, where you been? I'm right here. I've never left you. And again, today I pursue you. And today again, I come for you. Forget, I'm in you. My Spirit dwells in you. I've not gone anywhere. What happens when you honestly can have a confidence within you? The Lord is my helper, and I'm not going to be afraid. What can man do to me? I'm not going to put my trust in man. That just equals a snare. Put my hope in the Lord. I'm going to put my trust in Him. Father, we just come to you today, God. And I just am amazed at your word, and I thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us, and you're here right now with us. And God, I thank you for your Spirit to remain in us and dwell in us, and the power and the authority of your Holy Spirit in us. It's incredible, God. I can't even fathom it, God. I can't even imagine that, God, but it's true and it's real, and you never leave us. And there's so many times in our lives that we know that He is the comforter. We know that He is our advocate, that He has come to our aid again and again and again. Holy Spirit, you are so real. Man, if you're in this place today, you're like, Sean, man, I heard what God said today. Amen. I just, church, I want to pray. I did this in the first service. I want to do it again now. I want to pray over you as a church. I want to pray over you as an individual, not coming up front, but just right where you're at, where you would acknowledge to God, God, I'm in this position right now where I need to buy in to the truth as your child that you've never left me and forsaken me. God, I've been looking. God, where are you in this? God, I need to trust you in this, but God, I don't feel you in this. I don't know where you're at. And then God this morning would say, listen, I'm not going anywhere. I told you I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same God of Gideon. Says, listen, Gideon, look right at me. Come on, eye contact. Surely I will be with you, Gideon. And I believe he says that to us today, church, saying, listen, I am with you. I've never left you. Come on, look face to face with God. I just want to pray over you. And no one looking around, I just want you to just put your hand in the air. I'm not looking, no one looking. You're just saying, God, that's me. I'm just here. I'm just communicating to you. God, I've heard you today. I've heard you this morning. God, I've heard you. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we know that you are with us. And you will not forsake us. And you will not leave us, God. That you have never gone anywhere. And today we acknowledge that when we buy into that, God, there will be a confidence, a courage that will raise up in our spirit to do what you've called us to do. God, there will be a confidence that rises up within us to know that your very presence is with us. Everywhere we go, your spirit reigns in us and dwells in us. And God, in that confidence, God, we can trust in you. And in that confidence, God, I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't know what it means. God, I can't tell you what it looks like. I'm about to get married. God, I'm about to give birth to a child. God, I'm about to go into a new job. I'm about to go in a new season. God, you're with me in this. God, I can trust you in this. God, let my confidence rise in you. That God, there's nothing too difficult for you. God, if you are for me, who could be against me? God, your spirit reigns in me. Greater are you who's in me than he who's in the world. And God, we thank you for this, Father. Let our confidence and our courage rise up to a level to know that if you are for me, God, no man can be against me. And I put all my eggs in your basket in that, Father. And I put all my fear in you, for I will not fear. For God, there will be a courage that rises up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen, church.